I don't feel worthy enough or shaven enough for that matter, but I guess the Lord says come as you are, so I'm going to claim that today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sam, or for those of you who have forgotten me, my name is Sam, and today I've been asked to give a brief recap of what I've been up to for the last 4 months or so, fill you lovely people in on what's been going on, share some insights, what I've been up to, maybe a little bit of wisdom, probably not too much wisdom, but also challenge you with some of the things that I've been challenged by, and some of the things that I've been learning. But before I do any of that, I wanted to thank you guys as a church for all who supported me to get there. The amount of prayer that was behind me while I was in Africa, but also behind Izzy while she was at home, was such an encouragement and a blessing. The messages while I received while I was over there were such a daily encouragement, and it meant a huge amount while I was in the middle of nowhere. So I really want to thank you guys for that. So as you guys can see, from the last 3-4 months, I've been in Africa, in particular Kenya, the capital city, which is Nairobi. I've been chasing hippos and lions and elephants, giraffes and sunsets. I've been learning the Kenyan culture and eating the Kenyan food. I've been dealing with power outages, water shortages, the crazy traffic that is Africa, and mozzies the size of dragonflies. But most importantly, I've been growing in my walk with the Lord and praying to become more Christ-like in character. I was serving at a church called Nairobi Chapel, doing an internship program called the Kanara Leadership Development Program. Over my 3.5 months, I kind of had two separate job descriptions. For the first 2 months or so, I was working with youth and teenagers and the young adults church there. And then for the second half, I was working in the services department. And so this kind of meant that I was working with the worship team, the backstage crew, the sound and lighting, and just kind of the running of the Sunday services. I should clarify, Nairobi Chapel is one of the biggest churches in Kenya, and East Africa for that matter. It has a Sunday attendance of over 4,500 people. So a little bit bigger than St. Matt's. Its main service is over 2,000 people. The children's church is 1,500 kids. The teen service is 600 kids. And then there was a young adults church of about 150. So it's not a small church, and it's a very well-run operation. However, it is a church that is on fire for the Lord, and one that has seen incredible growth in the Lord's favour, because it has cast massive vision, backed it up with huge faith, and even bigger prayer. It has put him first and sought to make disciples of all nations. In terms of what I was doing for my 3.5 months, it wasn't just a holiday. I wasn't just chasing lions and feeding giraffes. Every week was a little bit different. There was no kind of standard week. But a basic outline was Tuesday to Friday, I would have Bible in schools in the mornings with the other interns, and we would teach kids from ages 6 to 14. This was a real highlight and such a great way to start the day. And it just taught me some really invaluable skills with working with kids. And I also learned just how much the Lord loves kids and the place for them there is in the kingdom of God. And just a reminder to never exclude that from them. On my first day of teaching, I rocked up to the class. There was a class of about 30 kids or so, and I was asked to introduce myself, the newest, you know, white man in town. And I said, "Hello, my name is Sam. I'm from New Zealand. We're known for rugby and Kiwi boot polish." And I'm here for the next 4 months or so. And without a second's hesitation, just like that, I had 30 kids get up and mock me for my New Zealand accent. "Hi, Sam." And I realized very quickly that if that was how it was going to be, I was going to have to sharpen my act up. But it was such a joy And I made some really good relationships with the kids. When you see them every day, you get to know them quite well. So that was really awesome. So this was done in the mornings from 7 to 9:30. And then throughout the week, I'd have different responsibilities. Tuesdays, we'd have a staff meeting. And that was always a very vibrant time of lots of dancing, lots of worship and singing. There'd be prayer. Scripture and teaching was always at the heart of that. Wednesdays, we had a department meeting to plan for the week. Thursdays was a full class day of teaching. Full class day of teaching for the internship. Friday would be a pastoral visiting day. So myself and a team of people would head out into the different homes of the young adults, and we'd just kind of, we'd have lunch with them, and we'd just be there to help with them in whatever way we could. We'd help around the home, we'd often play games with them, we'd laugh with them, just whatever we needed to, whatever they wanted us to do. I found that this was a really good way to interact with the Kenyan culture and get to know the people really well. We'd also have a regular Bible study in the evening on a Friday. Saturday was a full run-through of the Sunday service. Being such a big church, they made it very military-like. The band would practice, the vocalist would practice, the MCs would come and do, and the preacher would come and deliver a whole sermon on the Saturday to an empty church. And then finally, Sunday was the service, and I have a Monday for a day off where I could go out and explore Kenya. So that was an average week for me. It was very full and very people kind of orientated and focused. It meant I always got to the evening and crashed into bed. However, it was a time of real growth for me. I was often thrown in the deep end, with no idea what I was going to do or how I was going to do it. So the only way to move forward was just to rely wholeheartedly on the Lord. Some of the different opportunities I had or was thrown into, whether I liked it or not, were preaching, worship leading, running Bible studies, prayer nights, children's classes, Bible in schools, facilitating small groups, organizing services, helping out with camps. We got to visit a few orphanages. We also got to visit a number of slums, including the second largest slum in the world, which is 1.5 million people in one place. And that was really humbling, and just one of those moments you never forget and you don't quite know how to react to. We also got to, the interns also got to learn from some of the most amazing pastors and teachers from throughout the chapel, but also throughout Africa and the world. And that was a real honour to learn from some of the best. I learned a lot about myself and how I react in different situations or to different challenges. But I also learned a lot about God and his character. Since I've been back, people have been asking, what was your one highlight? And I had lots of highlights. But I think the biggest highlight was for me was probably the people. The people I had a chance to meet with and interact with had the most amazing vibrancy and colour to the way they lived their life. There is such a deep joy to the way they live life that's just contagious, and you just it's infectious. They have a real appreciation of what God has done and what he's doing and he's going to do to them. The thing that I wanted to share with you guys today or challenge you on was probably my biggest learning that I took away from my time over there. See, I got to swim with hippos in the second largest freshwater lake in the world. I got to see lions, elephants, giraffes. I got so close to a leopard I could see it drool. I got to pat a cheetah. I stood on the edge of the Great Rift Valley and watched the sun go down over the African plains. But none of that had the same impact on me as this learning during my time over there. In our reading today, Peter says in Acts 2, which is directly out of Joel, he says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. In those days, they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today I kind of want to focus on verse 17. In particular, young men will see visions. And I want to talk about vision and briefly share some thoughts on vision and challenge you as an individual, but also us as a church. I said at the start that Nairobi Chapel has cast big vision with big faith, and they've got massive prayer to back it up. You might be asking, like, what do I mean by this? Nairobi Chapel's vision, or faith goals, is one, to plant 300 churches by 2020. Number two, they want to witness to 1 million people by 2020. And number three, they want to disciple over 100,000 people by 2020. Now, you might think that this sounds just crazy and that there's no way that this vision can ever be achieved. I want to tell you that they are on target for all three of those faith goals. They have currently planted 184 churches across Kenya, Africa, and the world. They have taken hold of Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. They have cast big vision, they've backed it up with bigger faith and even bigger prayer. You see, I think the West, in particular New Zealand, has lost sight of its vision. I think first at an individual level, then a society level and a church level. Kids are leaving school with no idea as to what they want to do. They go to university to do a degree and change their mind five times. They end up with a degree they're not sure they will ever use, or they end up with no degree at all. Currently at Massey University, one third of all people who attend Massey University are dropping out. I am an example of this, a university dropout who is working at a brewery. People are so caught up in their day-to-day lives of work, school, kids, family, money, or we just don't care and think all will be well. Whatever it is, we have lost sight of the big picture, our integrating call, our vision. However, upon reflecting, I believe that this culture has gone further than just society and a personal level, and I think it's in our church. I believe that the Church of New Zealand has lost sight of the whole Church of New Zealand has lost sight of its vision, but has also stopped casting vision. We have either become one of two things. Become so comfortable where we are in our current location or caught up in our daily lives that we fail to see and answer God's call on our lives. Or become so fixated and distracted on the differences we have with policies, doctrines, denominations and traditions that we are forgetting why we are here and God's two commandments. To love God with all your heart, soul and mind and to love your neighbor as yourself. I believe in both instances, we have lost sight of our vision. If I asked you guys today, what is God's vision for your life? Could you honestly answer me? You see, for me personally, I can't, and I don't believe I'm alone. I think the Church of New Zealand has stopped casting vision. We have stopped dreaming dreams. And we've stopped believing that God can do anything. As a result of this, we have lost our faith because we have nothing to have faith in. If we don't have vision, we don't need to have faith. And if you're not striving for something or have a goal, you stop moving forward. If we don't have faith in something, we don't pray. I think New Zealand has become a prayerless nation. We have lost our vision, and as a result, we have lost our faith, and because of that, we have stopped praying. Someone who I had the honour of meeting was Bishop Oscar of Nairobi Chapel. I believe he visited St. Matt's about a month ago. He is someone who casts vision so ridiculous you think it's just impossible. However, after spending 5 minutes with him, you think you might actually have a chance at becoming the next Prime Minister of New Zealand. Yes, Japan is going to win the World Cup next year. His vision is so big, but his faith is even bigger, and his prayer is bigger than that again. Bishop Oscar went to Nairobi Chapel as a 26-year-old. The church just had a congregation of 20 at that point. And through accepting God's call on his life and being obedient to the vision that was set before him, he has seen God move in mighty, mighty ways, reaching people across the globe and having an eternal impact. Maybe we have forgotten who we serve. The God who made the heavens and the earth, who spoke and 100 billion galaxies were born, and the vapor of his breath, the planets form, every painted sky a canvas of his grace. The oceans roar of his greatness, the mountains bow down in reverence, and the stars are made to worship his name. He raised the dead to life. He healed the sick. He still heals the sick. He still raises the dead to life. Jesus is not dead, and God's power and authority is not dead either. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus defeated sin and the grave. Let's not forget this, or put a limit on what Jesus can and can't do, but instead say yes. As this year draws to a close and we look back and reflect on what has and has not happened of 2018, ask yourself, what is God's vision for my life? Am I living out God's vision for my life? And am I limiting God's vision in my life? If you can't answer those questions of what God's vision is in your life, then I encourage you as you go into 2019 to start praying. I think in order to receive God's vision, we need to go in reverse. We need to address the fact that we are a prayerless nation. We must start praying, first at an individual level, and then second at a church level. Asking the Lord, what is your call? What is his call on your life? What is the integrating call he has for you? Then we need to cast big vision. We need to start dreaming dreams. Have faith. We can't limit God. In Habakkuk 2:2-3, it says, "Then the Lord replied, 'Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay.'" I think a good vision is simple. It must begin with God and his priorities and his will. In today's reading from Mark, from verse 34, it says, "Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels.'" It talks about how we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. "For whoever loses their life for me or for the gospel will save it." We have to submit to God and his authority. Our vision has to be the same. It must begin with God and his priorities and his will. We have to go back to the cross. We have to remember what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago and then live in a daily reality of that great exchange. Number two, I think our vision must be bigger than ourselves. It cannot be something we can achieve on our own. Bishop Oscar said, "You will sweat because of your vision. You will need the help of those around you. Paul was thrown in prison for the vision that God gave him. He was stoned, he was shipwrecked, and eventually he was killed. But Paul had accepted this, and he knew that God's vision for his life was too big for just him. And he sought out the help of those around him. He cast vision to them, and they got on board. Number three, I think your vision needs to have eternal value. God has called us to be ready to give an account for who we are, to go and make disciples of all nations, and we must look at it through an eternal perspective. Today I ask you and challenge you, what is God's vision for your life? Are you living out God's vision in your life? And is your vision too small? I want to leave you with a final encouragement. While I was away, I by accident bumped into a group of Australian women. They were in Kenya. And once I found out what these women were doing, I was shocked. They had decided or been given the vision to send 1 million books to Kenya in shipping containers for local Kenyan schools. They would then fly to Kenya to meet the shipping containers, convert the containers into school libraries, and arrange for them to arrive at the different schools. I spent one day helping out these four women in a library or a container in a remote African village in a small school. I was given a picture of what someone fulfilling God's vision looked like. These women had spent hundreds of hours back in Aussie collecting secondhand books, sorting them, cleaning them, so they would be ready to get off the boat. They had been given a vision from God that was way too big for themselves. It had eternal value. And instead of passing on the idea as crazy, they had rolled up their sleeves and they had got to work. The most remarkable thing about this story is that all four women, and it's just four women for 1 million books, all four women were retired. The oldest, who happened to be the woman in charge, was 79. Four ordinary little old women fulfilling God's plan on a global stage, one book at a time in the middle of Africa. This was one of so many humbling experiences, and I left thinking, what's my excuse? We need to stop limiting God, take up our cross, and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we repent our prayerlessness to you. Lord, I pray that you would give us faith to move mountains. Faith so big that is crazy, so big that it is contagious to the people around us. Lord, I pray that as we go into 2019, as we enter a new year, Lord, I pray that you would give us our vision. I pray that you would reveal to us your integrating call on our lives. And if we've forgotten what our vision is or our integrating call, Lord, I pray that you would remind us. Lord, I pray that you would direct us at a personal level. Lord, I pray that you would direct us at a society level. And Lord, I pray that you would direct us at a church level. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in all of us, and we say, not my will be done, but yours be done. Amen.